Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, for a little while now, Pastor Reynolds has been preaching to us from the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 5. And this is a sermon, of course, that Jesus Christ himself preached while he was here on the earth. So during his earthly ministry, this is a message that Christ himself delivered. Now, this sermon is divided into several different sections and topics, and today we're going to continue with this thought about resist not evil. Now, for any of you that have not been able to listen to the earlier messages from the Sermon on the Mount, I'd really encourage you to log onto our website. That website address is www.independencebaptist.org. I'd log into that website, and once you're there, go to the audio section, and you're going to see underneath that audio section where all of our radio broadcasts are stored. And I'd really encourage you to go in and take a listen to all those earlier messages about the Sermon on the Mount, and I think they'll be a great blessing to you. But for now, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds as he continues our study from the Sermon on the Mount.
This morning, we want to continue in the same message we preached last Sunday morning, entitled, Resist Not Evil. This is found in the book of Matthew 5, verse 38 through verse 42. The Bible said here in this place, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." This morning, notice verse 42. Jesus said, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Jesus Christ, again, is teaching the same thought he started teaching in Matthew 5, verse 39. He is teaching us not to look so much on the things we have, rather to always look on what the other person needs. Let me say this again. He is teaching us not to look so much on the things we have. Rather, Jesus Christ wants us to always look at what somebody else needs. You see, what people need more than anything else is eternal life. That's an evident fact. Christ wants all of his people. Christ wants every believer to look on other people as he looks upon them. Christ never turned anybody away that wanted him to save their eternal souls. Christ even saved the thief on the cross. It was at the end of his life, and he did nothing at all to deserve salvation. And he could do nothing to anybody to prove that he was truly saved. The thief on the cross would never be baptized. And baptism is nothing but an outward sign of inward believing. The thief could never tithe, could never attend any kind of religious service, or even be a personal witness to anybody except the other thief. Of course, since his death, many a sermon has been preached about his conversion, and many souls have seen that Christ is well able to save anybody that comes to him, even if they can never do anything at all. You see, what Christ really wants people to listen to is that the things of this world are not very important. Christ wants us, if we will listen to him, to understand that the things of heaven, the things of eternity, are much more important than the temporary things of this life. Sometimes we begin to look at the things of this world as permanent, when they are, in fact, only temporary. All the things of this world will be destroyed when the final fire comes. That's in 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through verse number 12. But we need to understand this. Which one are we more interested in? The temporary things of this world or the permanent, eternal things of heaven? Christ wants each one of us to think heavenly thoughts, not temporary thoughts. Christ wants his followers to not be so involved with all the things of this world. Rather, he wants his followers to be involved with heavenly things, which shall never pass away. The things of this world will pass away, but the things of heaven will never pass away. And the things of heaven is what God wants us to be concerned about. Now, to a very practical point, I know each of us have had people borrow something from us. Sometimes I've even borrowed something from somebody else. Sometimes we borrow because we only need to use it one or two times and we don't want to spend the money, or maybe we don't have the money to spend. So we just borrow the item. But have you ever had anybody borrow something and never return it? Well, I think we've all had this happen to us. But why does this happen? Why does a person simply forget that they borrowed an item from us? It happens because Christ has something on his mind that is for our benefit. Romans 8:28 states this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You see, sometimes we, as true believers in Christ, get to thinking more of our earthly possessions than our heavenly possessions. Sometimes we, as true believers in Christ, actually take offense when our neighbor, who has borrowed from us before and never returned what he borrowed, wants to borrow something else. What do we do then? Do we loan our neighbor the second item? Do we loan our neighbor the third item? Listen to what Christ says in Matthew 5:39-41. "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. For whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." You see, in this place, Christ is actually saying that the things of eternity are much more important than the things of this earth. He wants us to know that we ought to always show our belief in Christ regardless of the situation or whatever happens. Christ says to turn the other cheek and loan the second article, or maybe the third article, or maybe even the fourth article. The thing he borrows is not really important. The thing that is important is that he came to you. He could have come to another neighbor, but he came the second time to you. Don't ever forget this very important truth. He came to you because he knew you had the item he wanted to borrow, and he knew you would lend it to him. It could have gone somewhere else, but he came to you. Think of this. How important are the things of this world? Is God unable to supply for you the things that you need? He is well able to do that. If we just trust the Lord more and more every day, that is pleasing unto the Lord. But if we always just trust the things around us, that is not pleasing unto the Lord. God wants us to trust him that he can give to us the things that we need every day. Now, look in Matthew 5:40. This verse states, "If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." You see, Christ is saying here, the important thing is not your coat, nor is the important thing your cloak. He is saying that the important thing is your attitude when things are not going your way. The important thing here is spiritual, not material. Sometimes we put more emphasis on material things than spiritual things. But the truth is, the spiritual things are much more important than material things. This is what Christ is saying. How long does material things last. Well, until they wear out, or until we die, or until somebody else dies, or until they're gone, whatever. But how long does spiritual things last? Spiritual things last throughout all eternity. And how long does eternity last? Well, it never does end, does it? You see, what Jesus Christ wants us to understand is that spiritual values are much, much more important than material values. Now, look again in verse 40 and verse 41. What is the first word? The first word of verse 40 and verse 41 is "and," meaning that Christ is talking about the same thing he was talking about in verse number 39. Jesus is not saying, two times you smite me, and the third time you try to smite me, I'm going to knock your block off. Jesus Christ didn't do that, and Jesus does not want us to do that either. Jesus Christ yielded himself to wicked people. He let them crucify him, and he died even though he had done nothing at all to die for. But we had. Jesus Christ died for us, not for himself. Jesus Christ is the perfect one. He didn't have any kind of sin. And Jesus Christ freely and willingly gave his life that we might have eternal life. You see, Jesus Christ was much more concerned with eternal things than he was with earthly material things. This is exactly what he wants us as believers in Christ to be concerned about. He wants us to be concerned about eternal things, not material things, not earthly things. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 42, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away." This is his whole point in this entire message. But sometimes people get mixed up between fighting for our nation and resisting evil. Listen, it is not wrong to fight for our nation. It is not wrong for our nation to go to war against those that attacked us. But fighting a war is not what Jesus Christ is here speaking about. World War I and World War II and other wars were very just wars because the U.S. was attacked. The chosen nation of Israel fought many wars. David was a great warrior for God, and God was with them and blessed them with victory in many, many cases. But let me say this. The 10 northern tribes went into Assyrian captivity in the year 722 B.C. Why? Because of their sins against God. The 2 remaining tribes went into Babylonian captivity in 606 B.C. Why? Because of their sins against God. When Jesus Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount, Israel was under the captivity of the Roman government. God had put them there because they had not yet learned the most important lesson of all. The most important lesson of all was spiritual, not earthly. It was not material things. What is Christ really teaching? He is teaching that all true believers ought to be a witness to those around them, even those that are against them. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did, and this is exactly what he wants us to do. God knows and God sees everything we go through, and he will bless if we do what he wants us to do. So, just who really are you listening to? Remember that in verse number 38, Jesus Christ said this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." People will say all kinds of things. But who are you listening to? Who are you following? Who are you obeying? Remember this, that one of these days, you as an individual will stand before an Almighty God in judgment. and he will want to know who you have been following. If you've been following the wrong one, you are in trouble. But if you have been following Christ, you are going to be all right. Notice what Jesus Christ said in verse 39. But I say unto you. You see, it is very, very important that each of us follow only what the Lord wants us to follow. It is very important because it is your life. It is not mine. It is your life. And you are going to be held accountable for your own life. We need to be more like Christ, don't you think? And not so much like everybody else. We need to be like Jesus Christ wants us to be. He is spiritual. We are not spiritual people. We are sold into slavery of sin. And we need to be healed of all of this. The only way anybody can ever be healed of this is by the power of Almighty God. This is why it's so very important that each of us take and do only what God wants us to do. You see, bad stuff happens to everybody. You cannot blame the bad things that happen to you on God. Bad stuff happens to everybody. Listen, the Apostle Paul, did he have an easy life? Why, no. You think about the things that he went through, the things that he was involved in. The Apostle Paul was stoned. He was beaten. He was left for dead. You can't blame God for all of that. So don't be doing that. Recognize that God is very good. He delivers us from all kinds of wickedness. He delivers us from all kinds of sin. Bad things happen to everybody. In Matthew chapter 5, there are 7 times that Jesus Christ mentions the other way. Following people is not what Jesus Christ wants any of his followers to do. But Jesus Christ wants each of us to only follow what he says. This is so very vital to a Christian attitude, to a Christian life. It is so very vital that you only listen to what God has to say. Let me ask you something. When was the last time that you just took down your Bible all by yourself because you wanted to hear what God had to say to you? When was the last time you just read your Bible all by yourself just because you wanted to know what God wanted you to know? When was the last time you spent some time letting God speak to you? There's oftentimes that we would go around and we would ask this one or that one or somebody else about what they think about this or that or something else. Well, listen, when was the last time you just went to the Lord and asked God to give you understanding about what you need to do? Isn't that a good thing to do? It's an excellent thing to do. What God can do is that God can give you understanding about things that will change everything. It will change the way you live. God is very, very good. And this is why Jesus Christ is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 38 through verse 42, as he preaches to these people, and he wants them to understand that his way is always the better way. This is exactly what he says in verse 39 when he says, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus Christ has something else on his mind. He doesn't want you to get beat up. He doesn't want the enemy to overcome you. But Jesus Christ has something else on his mind for you, something that will cause you to have victory. Turn the other cheek. Let those people hit you again. And don't strike back at them. Look in verse number 40. The Bible said, if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. It is very important to understand that this is exactly what Jesus Christ did. They took his coat. when they crucified Jesus Christ, they took that coat, and instead of splitting it up like they normally would, they cast lots for it. You see, Jesus Christ knows that the most important thing of all is not the coat or the cloak that we have on. Jesus Christ knows and understands that the most important thing of all is our heart, is our attitude. Jesus Christ understands that we need to give ourselves unto the Lord and let the Lord do with us any way He wants to do. In verse number 41, the Bible said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Many people, even sometimes our friends, will try to lead us astray. But always use everything you do to glorify and honor God and God alone. This is exactly what Jesus Christ is stating. Sometimes, however, we're too concerned with our rights. This is what Jesus Christ is proclaiming here in these verses. Our rights are the rights of a slave. Our rights are the rights of one who has dedicated his entire life to the Lord and let the Lord take care of us. Don't take care of your own problems. Jesus Christ is very well able to take care of all of your difficulties and all of your trials and all of your problems. Jesus Christ can do it all. Sometimes we actually hinder God from blessing us. Why? It is because we must change our plans or our way of thinking about doing a certain thing. But God doesn't want our plans. God doesn't need our plans. You see, this is what He's preaching about. Jesus Christ is saying, "Whatever happens to you, I have directed. I am in charge of you, and I know the absolute best for you." Sometimes, however, we look at that a different way. We want to take charge of things ourselves and not let God have charge of us. But Jesus Christ says, if anybody compels you to go a mile, you go with him 2 miles. You take the opportunity to understand where they're coming from. And you take the opportunity as you travel with them, as you do with them, to understand what they need. And you teach them the right thing. And you show them by your attitude that you're trying to do what God wants you to do. This is what he's stating very clearly. He says in verse number 42, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away." This is vitally important that we just do what God wants us to do. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the voices of this world as they lead you astray from serving God? Or do you dedicate yourself only to the things of Almighty God? This is so vitally important. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of the living God, preached these things on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ wants the people to understand that He can take care of everything. But I tell you what, until you let God take care of the difficulties and the problems and everything else in your life, you will never know the satisfaction of knowing that God has done a certain thing in your life. As long as you think you are the one in charge, you must force the situation. But that is not a good thing to do at all. Instead of forcing a situation, you need to let God do exactly as He desires to do in your life. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, sometimes we think that serving God is easy. But serving God is not always easy. Sometimes it is easy. Sometimes there are good blessings that God gives. But sometimes there's hard things that we each must face. We must realize that. Jesus Christ is not bypassing that thought at all. Jesus Christ is saying in verse number 38 through verse 42, I know that there's bad things that you're going to have to face. I know that. I know that evil comes upon you. I know that people want to hit you. I know that people want you to do things that are unreasonable. But God said, I will always bless. I will always keep. I will always sustain. We need to always trust the Almighty God and let Him take care of us. He is a mighty, mighty God. And He can do the things that we cannot do. God can do it. Just let God take care of whatever situation that you're in. God can really bless if you will let Him do it. God can really bless you in your individual life. He can give you satisfaction and peace in the middle of all kinds of trouble and trial and all kinds of difficulty. God can bless you. This is what He's saying in Matthew 5, verse 38 through verse 42. Jesus Christ, when He preaches His Sermon on the Mount, He is saying the things that are absolutely vital to the people in that day. And it's vital to us as well. We need God to bless. We need God more than anything else. Just trust the everlasting God, and He can bless you even today. I know that He can. Just trust Him. Trust God. Sometimes we think that lost people ought to trust God. You know what? I think that sometimes saved people need to learn to trust God too. You know, I think that God is the one that can take care of it all. Just trust God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be saved, but there's more to it than just being saved. There's a life that you have to live, and you need to live that life the way God wants you to live it.
You know, are you listening today and you're already saved? Then as Pastor Reynolds mentioned, there is still a life to live, and you need to live it God's way. But more importantly, for those of you that are listening this morning and you're not saved, then you must see your hopeless condition before a holy and just God. You must turn from your sin. You must believe that Jesus Christ came and that He died that you might have life. And you need to trust Him as your Savior today. And that is the one and only hope that there is for a lost sinner. And if you'd like to talk to us and learn more about salvation, then I'd encourage you to come and visit with us in person. You can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We'll be meeting together this morning starting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. And if you're unable to come and be with us in person, but you still have questions about salvation, absolutely feel free to call us today. We'll be there most of the day. Call us at 636-673-2180. You could also log on to our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. There's a place on there where you can email the pastor if you have questions that you'd like to send his way, and he'll get back with you. And while you're there, I would encourage you to check out the many different books and articles that are available. There's audio messages, there's tracks, there's sermon outlines. Go take a look at those. You can download those free of charge. Listen to some of those messages. For example, if you look under our Statement of Faith section, you can read the outline for a message called The Way of Salvation. And while you're reading that message, you can actually click a download or streaming button and actually listen to the sermon as well. And if you have questions about salvation, you check out that Statement of Faith and that message on The Way of Salvation. And then you reach out to us and let us know if you have any additional questions. We would be glad to talk with you and to pray with you about it. Well, as we come down to the close of the broadcast this morning, let me once again thank you for listening and encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.